This evening's scripture reading will come from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 13, verses 13 through 14. If you're reading that from one of the books underneath the bench, that'll be on page 254. Again, that is 1 Samuel 13, 13 through 14. And Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man of his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be the commander over his people, because you have not kept that which the Lord commanded you."
Now you're in trouble. I have two sets of notes tonight. So good to see you. Happy that you're here. Delighted that you've come our way. We have visitors with us. As we always express, you indeed are our honored guest. And we sincerely mean that. And we hope that you give us an opportunity to get to meet you, get to know you better before you depart this place of worship this Lord's evening. In Paul's sermon in Antioch, in Acts chapter 13, and verse 22, and also as Nathan just read for us in 1 Samuel chapter 13, in verses 13 through 34, the Apostle Paul shared a statement regarding David. "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all of my will." What a beautiful compliment. A man who is after God's very own heart. It certainly should be characterized and represent every individual who wears the name of Christ. That we are people who are individuals who are after God's own heart and displaying God's very own character. David possessed many attitudes that were later perfected in Christ, should be characterized by all disciples. And tonight it is in this lesson that we're going to consider why David was a man after God's own heart, why he would be labeled as such. We're going to look at Jesus, how Jesus fulfilled such an attribute, characteristics of God, and encourage all Christians to be those individuals who reveal the very heart of God. First of all, when we think about David, why David was a man after God's own heart, I would suggest to you that David loved God's Word. David loved God's Word. Psalm 119, verse 97. It is written, "Oh, how I love your law! It is my meditation all the day." In this psalm, if not written by David, I will tell you that it certainly represented David, didn't it? When you consider David's life. For example, in Psalm 119, verses 47 and 48, "I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. My hands also I will lift up your commandments, which I love. And I will meditate on your statutes." Note that twice it says he loves God's commandments. As a matter of fact, he has given himself entirely over to those commandments because he meditates on them all the time. for what reason? Would he love them? Well, David would love them because it protects him from sin. Psalms 119, verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. It revives him in affliction. Psalm 119, verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. Would give him a great peace of mind. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Jesus loved the Word of God too. It is evident whenever you go back and when Jesus was tempted there by Satan. The Spirit had driven Jesus into the wilderness. And it was there in the wilderness that Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. The Scriptures go on and they tell us that Jesus became hungry. And here comes the tempter. Thought he had found a weakness. And definitely, with all men, fasting 40 days and for 40 nights, food seems to be something that we crave and that we would certainly desire. And the tempter comes, Satan comes, and he challenges Jesus. You're the Son of God. Turn these stones into bread. Jesus responds with Scripture. Now, I know when we look at it, it says he answered him and he said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It is written, Jesus would say, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Then the devil takes him into the holy city, sets him up on the pinnacle of the temple, and, well, he's quoting Scripture to Jesus. Psalm 91, verse 11, is what the old devil begins to quote. You have your Bibles, and it definitely shows it in quotation marks. He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Now, I'll challenge you, when you go back and you read Psalm 91:11, you'll notice something. You'll notice that there's portions of that passage that the old devil left out. He would pick and choose what he wanted Jesus to hear instead of what all God said. Brethren, I would submit to you that's one of the big problems in our religious world today. Jesus would respond from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 16. It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. He takes him again and up onto a high mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. If you fall down and worship me, I'll give you these. Who in the world do you think you're talking to? Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. Jesus loved the Word of God, and he quoted it. Brethren, how is our love for the Word of God? Do we hide it in our hearts? Do we find it to be a source of comfort in times of affliction? Does it give us a peace of mind? If not, we should give heed to the instructions that David shared in Psalm chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, And in His law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf it shall not wither. And whatever he does, he shall prosper. We need to learn to delight in God's Word. Meditate upon it daily. Then we will truly be blessed. David loved the Word of God. But I'll tell you what else that represented why David was a man after God's own heart. David, he loved to pray to God. He loved to pray to God. David would express in Psalm 116, verses 1 through 2, that he would indeed call upon the name of the Lord daily. Daily. His love for prayer was based upon the fact that God would indeed answer his prayers. God would answer his prayers. Oh, I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplications. He has inclined His ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon Him as long as I live. As long as there's life in my body and there's evidence that God is answering my prayers, I will always pray to God. It was based upon the fact that God had greatly blessed him. Psalm 116, verses 12 through 13. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits towards me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. What shall I render to the Lord, David says, for all His benefits are towards me? I'll continue to pray to you, God. You know, my heart was touched this morning when McKaylee came forward with a sincere heart of repentance, a desire to make Jesus the Lord of her life. She shared with me as she sat right there, God has been so good to me. He has delivered me in times of trouble. When there were moments and there were episodes in my life when things were not good. God rescued me. And you know what I'm talking about. And then when my boyfriend, who was at death's door, and prayers by faithful Christians went up for my boyfriend, and he came out of his coma, and she looked at me and she said, how can I deny him? Now, I'm going to tell you, when I sat right there, I said, keep it together, Scott. Keep it together, Scott. Keep it together, Scott. Because that was an amazing moment right there. You see, that's what David is sharing in those Psalms. I prayed to him, and God has answered those prayers. How can I deny him? How can I do that? Jesus was a man of prayer. He made it a point oftentimes, according to Luke chapter 5 and verse 16, to slip away. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and he prayed. I'll tell you, Archie, that was one of the blessings of growing up out in the sticks, is that you could just go find you a hillside, a mountainside, look up into the heavenly stars and pray to your heavenly Father. But Jesus, oftentimes, as Luke says, he would withdraw from the multitudes, from the hustle and the bustle, and spend time talking to God. In times of great trial, Jesus resorted to prayer in Gethsemane. In Matthew chapter 26 and verses 36 and following, the night of his betrayal, he would instruct his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." My God," he would say as he would pray up on that cross, "why have you forsaken me?" Or as in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And finally in Luke chapter 23, verse 46, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Brethren, how is our prayer life? Have we found it to be a source of peace which surpasses all understanding? Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. When anxiety rears its head, we ought to automatically hit our knees and pray to God. Do we, as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5 and verse 17, pray without ceasing? That's Paul's take. That's the Spirit's instruction to help us understand that prayer should be natural, not strange, not something that is foreign to us. If not, then David instructs us to depend upon prayer for our very own preservation. Psalm chapter 32 and verses 6 through 7. "For this cause everyone who is godly should pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance." What a beautiful psalm. No matter what, God, you're there to protect me. David was a man after God's own heart because he loved to praise God. Psalm 119, verse 164 says, "Seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments." David would go on in Psalm 101, verse 1, "I will sing of mercy and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises to you." He praised God because of his greatness and his loving kindness. Psalms chapter 95, verses 1 through 7. Beautiful psalm. He was determined to sing praises as long as he lived. Psalm 104, verse 33. "I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have been," David would say. Jesus loved to praise God as well. Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 26. "At that time, Jesus answered and he says, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, It's interesting how many times you look in the Scriptures and Jesus is thanking God, praising God, as He did with His disciples in Matthew chapter 26, verse 30. And they sung a hymn and they went out to the Mount of Olives. Do we love to praise God? Do we delight in singing praises to God? Do we take time to praise God in our prayers? Once again, David has words that encourage us in this activity. Psalm 147, verse 1. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful. By inspiration, that's what he says. Praise is beautiful. Praising God is beautiful. Thus it is becoming for those who profess to be children of God to praise God. Every now and then you hear that statement, don't you? Praise God. It is right and it is beneficial, church, that we praise God. Finally, I'm going to tell you that David loved to live for God. He loved to live for God. You know, David tried to live perfectly in God's service. Now, I know, as soon as I say that, it's easy for our minds to immediately take a left turn and say, yeah, but what about Bathsheba? David, like all people, was not without fault. Jesus had the perfect solution for that one in John chapter 8. Psalm 101, verse 2, he says, I will behave wisely in a perfect way. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. David wasn't perfect, but I'm going to tell you something. It didn't keep him from trying. Jesus did live perfectly. Isaiah the prophet would say in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 9, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Peter reaffirms this. We've been looking at the book of 1 Peter, 2 Peter, and 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. He recites the very message that Isaiah prophesied. Jesus, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. What about us? On the one hand, we are lying if we say that we don't sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and His truth is not in us, John says. But on the other hand, sin shouldn't keep us from trying to be perfect either. Jesus himself would say in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48, therefore you shall be perfect just as your heavenly Father. He is perfect. David was truly a man after God's own heart. He loved God's word. He loved to pray to God. He loved to praise God. He loved to live for God. These are all enduring qualities of each and every Christian. These are things that certainly we can ask ourselves, am I like that? Am I a man? Am I a woman? Am I a person that God can look at and offer the same compliment to us that He did David? There is a man. There is a woman. There is a person who is after my very own heart. I hope and pray that it is. Tonight, I want to encourage you. If this is something that you desire, that you indeed obey what God says about becoming a Christian. I want to encourage you tonight to repent of your sins. Confess Jesus as the Son of God. He is Lord. And be baptized into Christ for the remission and forgiveness of those sins. And have a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Maybe you've done that. Maybe your life doesn't match up, doesn't measure up to a person that would be deemed as one who is after God's own heart. And certainly if we are lost in sin, we can't make such a claim, can we? We need to return.